Welcome to the sofa. I'm Sherry.
I'm Bonnie, and this is the Sisters Hallmark Sip and Chat podcast.
We're a couple of crownheads who love all things Hallmark.
Hello, fellow crownheads, and welcome to week 3 of Hallmark's Countdown to Christmas. In this episode, we will be sipping Chilean Monkey Tail Punch. You can find the recipe on our website, sisterssipandchat.ca. Feel free to pause so you can make your own. This episode, we'll be chatting about this week's 5 movies entitled A Magical Christmas Village, Christmas Bedtime Stories, Lights, Camera, Christmas, Ghosts of Christmas Always, and A Cozy Christmas Inn.
Okay, busy week. Starting with movie number 1, A Magical Christmas Village. This is starring Allison Sweeney as Summer, Luke McFarlane as Ryan, and Marlo Thomas, Vivian. Summer's mother, Vivian, sets out the cherished family heirloom, a decorative Christmas village, to enjoy with her granddaughter, and wonderful magic events ensue. So let's find out how this movie rates on our sofa rating system. But first, a quick explanation. Our custom sofa rating system includes a list of 20 Hallmark tropes broken down into 10 categories that will be determined how Hallmark is this movie. You can download the list from our website, sistersipandchat.ca. This movie earned 15 out of 20 sofas. The breakdown categories are town holiday celebrations, location, 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 family and friends, big life changes, Christmas magic, and for a bonus 5 sofas, the highlighting a charity or charitable event for the annual toy drive and parade to benefit the hospital.
All right. I love this movie, and no big surprise because I have a village that everybody knows that we like affectionately call Bonnieville. And I feel like they saw my videos of Bonnieville that I put out every year when I set it up and decided to make a movie around it because that's sort of how it felt when I was watching it. And so, of course, I love the setting of the village and how they use the village. And the little people, the daughter, yeah, moving the little people around to tell the story, which made it a little magical, of course. I set mine up just so that the little people look like they're in motion. So it's not just stagnant buildings. I like to kind of create a story with my village too. But my buildings electrically light up, not by magic, at least not that I know of.
Well, the entire family looks forward to your Bonnieville videos every year. We love to see what changes you made and what new additions you have. Mm-hmm. I did think that the concept of making a wish on a Christmas village was unique.
Yeah.
But almost like kind of voodoo dolls. That was creepy how the little girl moved them and that thing happened. That part was a little strange to me. However, the concept of making the wish on the village was a really cool concept.
Yeah, I'm surprised she didn't mention to her mother, oh, by the way, because even after she realizes these are the little people that she's been moving around and then they look exactly like how the 2 people in real life are dressed. She never tells anyone, oh, by the way, she just keeps it to herself, which I don't think most kids would do. I think that they would talk about it. But it was a very cool little twist on the magic and village things. Right. Another architect in this movie. Like, they having a thing about architects. They definitely love buildings this season because almost every movie now is having an architect, which is so funny. But I mean, I'm glad they appreciate the beauty of a small town, even though I live in a big city. I am also happy that they have increased the diversity in their movies. I'm really loving the inclusiveness we're seeing this year.
Yeah, I do agree that we're definitely having an architect Christmas at Hallmark. That's true. I do think that there has been a lot of inclusivity, but sometimes you just have to take a minute to like see how that is applied in the story, because mm-hmm. it's normal day-to-day life for us to see it out, and mm-hmm. now to see it in Hallmark, it's great to see. It's just, it is a different way to see their movies being presented.
Well, I'm hoping that more and more it won't seem so jarring that it's different. It's just going to be the way it always is.
Right.
I really like that. I like that's how they do it in, this is not a Hallmark movie, but in Bridgerton, where they have a lot of mixed inclusivity there too. That's, I really like that kind of push toward that in media for sure. And of course, one of the things I loved about this movie was the feather boas at Christmas. Like, I thought that was so cute when she had the feather boas. She was all dressed up. I've never seen Christmas styled feather boas, but I just thought it was super cute, fun, girly thing to do.
It was really cute. And it was really sweet that the mother, Vivian, believes so much in the magic of the village, which is why I thought it was odd that the daughter wasn't sharing that to have more believers come. But maybe that would change the story. But the mother, Summer, clearly had a wonderful, loving support system.
Yes, it definitely still came back to family, which is, obviously the backbone of Hallmark Christmas movies. And I certainly appreciated it. Movie number two, Christmas Bedtime Stories, starring Aaron Cahill as Danielle, Steve Lund as Pierce, and Charlie Weber as Colby. Danielle shares special memories of her military husband, who is MIA and presumed dead, as told to her daughter through bedtime stories at Christmas time. Okay, let's find out how this movie rated on our sofa rating system. It got a 19 out of 20 sofas. So it hit a lot of those tropes there. And those are military might, town holiday celebrations, here comes the bride, location, 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 family and friends, affairs of the heart, Christmas magic, and bonus 5 sofas for the toy drive charitable event.
I really, really love that sweet moment that she had with her daughter sharing those stories about her dad. I'm sure that was really hard for both of them, but so important for the little girl to keep his memory alive and feel close to him. I really, like, every time they went to that scene of, the past telling the story, oh, it just grabbed at my heart.
Yeah, I agree. Those were very sweet moments and a really sweet idea to do, particularly their whole relationship sort of surrounded Christmas. The daughter was born at Christmas. Like, it was so connected to that time of year that it was nice to connect all that into the stories as well. On the romantic side, I mean, it may seem a little less romantic, but I'm glad that she waited to ask her daughter about marrying the Pierce guy. I think that even though that maybe didn't seem like, the romantic thing to say yes right away to them, I thought that was really thoughtful of her to say, hey, this isn't just me. This is a family we're building with the three of us. So I really liked that part too. The story sort of felt like a sequel to a regular Hallmark movie to me. Instead of this buildup between the relationship of those two, it was sort of was how did they, where did they go from the time that they became romantic? And then it kind of got a little bit mixed up for me. So, but I mean, I'm glad that they found each other and they sort of had this idea they had to figure out the rest of their lives together, because the initial meeting, that meet cute thing, was in the past. But then as the movie goes along, that gets a little bit changed.
Right. Yeah, it was nice that they found each other, but he was his best friend. So of course they would have had some form of interaction in the past. But, and I guess that's common that people, because they comfort each other and console each other through a loss, that they get together like that. But I thought they were cute or whatever, but you could definitely see that they did a really good job of not having them as connected. Like, usually your two stars, you're falling in love with them falling in love with each other. It was good that they were able to show that she wasn't sold out for this. She loved him, she cared for him, but
it's sort of like in some of the movies where the main person has a boyfriend or a girlfriend that isn't going to be the one they end up with. So at some point, you're just waiting for them to break up. It kind of, as the time went on, it sort of felt more and more like that to me as well, too. Some of the things I did like that just odds and ends I liked in this movie. First of all, I love the name of the dog. I thought Star was such a cool name for a dog. I've never heard that name for a dog. I thought that's so cute about Christmas Star and everything. And I did love her daughter's bedroom, how it was decorated. So every time we came back to that when they were telling the stories, it was such a pretty little room with stars and everything. I think they got that theme going there. There was also that bakery or cafe that they went to called Tracy's Cakes, which I've actually seen in a magazine and absolutely loved. So I freaked out when that came on the screen. I'm like, oh my gosh, that Tracy's Cakes. Like, I just thought it was so cool because I'd seen it in real life. It was nice. And I think I remember saying, reading that they had filmed there, but it was just kind of nice to see that. And
Hey,
last but
I
not
didn't
least,
even catch that part because obviously I didn't know about Tracy's cake. So we need to put that out as a sister's road trip. Go check that out
I'm
sometime.
pretty sure it's in like Ohio or something. It's not in Canada.
But that's not far.
There you go. Well, maybe we will. Maybe we'll put it on our map of places to visit that
Hit the
are
hit.
in the Hallmark movies. Okay, I'm up for that.
Exactly.
The boys will always do a road trip too.
They're
And I
very good
want to
about
try
that.
roasted chestnuts because they always are in every single movie. Have you tried a roasted chestnut? I've never tried them.
No, I've never tried it. I think the concept is cool. I would like to see them when I go somewhere, but I haven't actually tried it. I know that at Canada's Wonderland, when they do the Christmas, I forget what it's called. Is it just Christmas
Winterfest.
Wonder Winterfest? They have something with roasted chestnuts there, but
Oh,
I
I
haven't
didn't
actually
see
tried
it
them.
there. Shoot, I should have tried some. Anyways, I'd
The
like to
one
try
thing
them.
I did find strange with this movie was that the Christmas magic was happening. And with ended up being the husband was still alive. So I guess it was deterring her from moving forward, but it actually was appearing like it was giving her the okay. Like as
I
if it
got
was
that
his
same impression
spirit.
too. Yeah, like that he was just saying, look at the past and how wonderful things are. And then he wrote her the letter that it's okay to move on.
Move on. So like it was like this was the perfect guy. He's my best friend. I know he's a good guy, blah, blah, blah. Like it
Yeah.
just it seemed like it was him saying it's okay, like
Yeah,
it's
like you
this is
have, we
good.
have shared memories, the three of us, and it's all good. And you know what I mean? Like it did come off a bit. In my opinion, a little bit convoluted in the end. It was sweet. And, it obviously you want a family to reunite, but I think there's a
Absolutely,
million ways
but
they could have done
how
it
does
better.
the army not know who, like, there were
Exactly.
no Americans in there? That would never happen. They know, they have so much intelligence, right? Like,
Exactly.
so it's unfortunate that that happened because I think that that was completely unrealistic. And I know it's just a storyline, but I would think that that
But
may be a bit insulting
yes, I
to
would
the
think the
military.
military families might be a little, not necessarily offended, but maybe irritated that it was, they didn't seem to do homework on this. Like, I know if someone was, released from prison somewhere in the world, so he is apparently was in Germany or something, that's where they would have flown the family there to see him. He would have had to be debriefed, and he certainly wouldn't have looked as well like he just was the 3 years before, as if no time had passed. He was in prison. He would look different. He probably would have been a little roughed up. You know what I mean? Like that part just
Yeah,
was a little bit
probably a lot
not.
thinner,
Yes. Yeah, that's what I
right?
mean.
Like,
Like he was very healthy
yeah.
looking for someone who'd been in a prison for 3 years.
It's a lovely ending for the family to come back together 100%. But like, I just, if she never went back to the military, like if they didn't put in that piece,
Yeah.
then maybe it could have worked. But the
Yeah.
fact that she actually went and asked and they said no, there was no Americans, then I was like, okay, well.
Yeah,
And
they
then he
could have
was
left that a little bit
alive.
more suspenseful. Yeah, you're right. It just, like I said, it just felt a little convoluted at the end, like they rushed and threw it all together instead of actually pacing it out a little bit better. And like you said, they didn't use the magic in the way I think they thought they were using the magic.
Right. Okay, so let's go on to movie number three, Lights, Camera, Christmas, starring Kimberly Sustad as Carrie and John Brotherton as Brad. Carrie's store is failing, but when a holiday rom-com movie starts shooting in her town, she has the chance to rekindle her love for costume design and maybe find love with Brad, the movie's beloved leading man. All right, let's find out how this movie rates on our sofa rating system. It earned 14 out of 20 sofas. The categories are Town Holiday Celebrations, Clash of the Classes, Location, 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 Family and Friends, Affairs of the Heart, Big Life Changes, and Christmas Magic.
You know, the main lead, Carrie, she's so talented. And I just felt really bad for her that she had to initially put off her dream because of obviously family issues, and how awesome this movie was, this great opportunity. I mean, the producer was kind of screwing her over a little bit with her business, you know, buying the clothes and then wanting to return them or whatever. I would not have, and I also wouldn't have given up a job offer of a magnitude that she was offered after she did this movie for a relationship that was new and untested. But I really felt for her though, because it was sort of a push and pull for her career. So she starts off, she has a business that's failing. So she gets picked up by this movie to just for the clothes. Then they want to return the clothes, which she's already paying her bills with that. Then at least they see that she's such an awesome designer that she can stay on. And then he kind of messes with her head, this Brad guy, and screws her over for chances in the future. That, you know, I really felt like she was kind of like, you know what I mean? Like
well, because she was finally trying to like take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And get out of her comfort zone, and then blows up.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was tough to watch her career kind of go up to this high, but then it was a little bit low. But I do love these actors for sure.
Okay, so talking about they bought all the stuff out of her store. What I did find amusing is when they said, okay, we need you on the set every day. She's like, well, who's going to watch the store? There was no product.
Yeah, there was no product. Why there would was you no open people. And what was her store? Mom doing? Like, like, really not a problem there, lady. You had no
I thought that was entertaining.
True.
Okay, so I love the behind the scenes of making a movie. I love that we got to see that. It reminded my husband and I of all the times that we've done extra work on different sets and how you get to see it from a different perspective. But it was also really cool because they took the time to teach us how the fake snow, because as you know, we watch these movies and check for fake snow, which obviously they were doing, but they showed us how they shoveled it right into place and how they made it with stuff. Like, so from a person who's interested in that side of a production, that was really cool for us.
Yeah, they make movies in my city all the time, including Christmas movies in the summer. So I don't think they have a choice but to make fake snow at that point. And it's always cool to hear about when they're making movies and filming in the city and kind of waiting on social media to see what locations they're going to do it in, see if they turn up in the movie. I'm always like kind of keeping my eye out for that because they do film a lot in my city. And yeah, it was very cool to see the sort of backstage goings on and how they kind of shoot out of order, you know, make scenes work or whatever. If they're using a location, they'll do multiple scenes there, even if they're not in order. That was very cool too. I agree with you. I thought that was kind of cool. I also thought he was just like hilarious. I loved He's him so from funny. Fuller I House. I think they made a good couple together, but I also think that they almost look like they might have been better as friends rather than romantic. But I do like their chemistry together because I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute how he always got himself invited to events with her and her mother because her mother was like a little crushing on him anyway. And then they had that really pretty dinner in the in the backstage or whatever, and they had the beautiful tree there, and that was really sweet. I really did. That was my favorite romantic scene in the whole movie, was that dinner backstage that he built up for them.
Oh yeah, that was a really nice scene. I loved the modern Santa suit. Like, I thought that was such a cool idea, and he looked so good. I mean, he's an extremely attractive man and well fit, but like, I mean, outside of that, like, it was really, really well done. Like, her vision, or whomever created that in real life, that vision was really cool. I really liked that a lot. And it's just nice to see some different aspects to things, not just always exactly the same, you
I
know,
agree. I agree.
change
Santa
things
is a
up a little bit.
character, and they made him, to suit the movie that was being filmed in the movie. The movie in the
Exactly.
movie.
The only thing I didn't like was that when they didn't need all her clothes from her shop, they said, okay, we're going to return it to you for a refund, which I get was to show that, oh my gosh, now she's in more financial trouble. Like, I get that
Yeah,
part of the
to give her a
storyline.
hiccup. Yeah.
Yeah. But the TV production company seriously could have been able to donate the clothing to a shelter, which would have given them a charitable event store
Yeah,
on their
there's no
sofa waiting
charitable
for them.
event in this one, which is kind
Yeah.
of surprising that
Very
we didn't have
surprising that there was
anything.
nothing. No,
Nothing.
and like thinking about a whole production company, I realize that lots of set pieces you would keep and reuse for another movie, but you would think there'd be certain things that they would hand out. Let's say they didn't eat all
Yeah.
their food that day, as they always have the sets with food, that they would at least give that to the local shelter or whatever. But and maybe, obviously I'm sure others do, but in this particular story, they didn't hit that caring for others piece. So that part was the only, I absolutely love both of these actors. So that was the only disappointing thing for me in that movie.
I do think that's the only place that in the sense of the whole thing where they kind of failed.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to movie number four then. Ghosts of Christmas Always, starring Kim Matula as Catherine, Ian Harding as Peter, Beth Levo as Susan, Lori Tan Shin as Arlene, and Reginald Val Johnson as Roy. Catherine, the ghost of Christmas present, and her fellow Christmas ghosts are on the case of an unusual unscrooging, which has Catherine reliving some of her own past memories. Okay, let's find out how this movie rates on the SOFA rating system. It earned a very, very good score of 19 out of 20 SOFAs, and the categories are Town Holiday Celebrations, Clash of the Classes, Location, 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 Family and Friends, Affairs of the Heart, Big Life Changes, Christmas Magic, and the charitable event was the Christmas dinner food packages that for the needy that were handed out in the community center Christmas dinner.
This was a really interesting concept on an old classic. But what I did find was interesting as well was that they told us that all of the ghosts of the Christmas Carol all passed at Christmas. And that's how they get to become these ghosts. I hadn't, if it had been told in a previous Carol about that, I didn't catch that
Because
till this one.
in the book, I believe they're spirits and not ghosts. The only ghost was Marley, his
Marley.
right, which is her last name in this, which I found kind of cute that they her last name was actually Catherine Marley. So that
Marley,
was cute.
yeah.
But yeah, so in the book, they're just spirits where they're like as if they just existed for this thing only. I agree with you. I think this was a good twist on that beloved classic storyline. And I didn't catch that at first, but like the fact that they were all born at Christmas, or sorry, died at Christmas, was a good use of that whole why were they doing this and the idea that you could move on from doing this because in the book they're spirits so they're there all the time there's nowhere to move on to they didn't have a past or a future kind of deal but as
Right.
people they get to they had a past so there's an option to move on and so obviously skipping ahead to the end she moves on and that means someone else would have to take her place right
Exactly.
I it, her
And they did
original.
show that whole foreshadowing in the very beginning about the unknown door.
Yes, yeah. So it's like off to the unknown and what's in the unknown. And they're like, you have to imagine where you want to be and be ready. And then you can open the door and go into the great unknown.
Unknown, right?
Yeah.
Which I agree with what you're saying with the whole spirits piece. The spirits exist for that purpose. So
Yeah,
it's not like
they're
because they
still,
died, it's, yeah.
yeah. So in the original, it was not the same thing, but I think they humanized it way more. with this movie, which I really liked because,
And
you
the
know, we've seen the
ghosts were
story a million
so
times.
funny.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was a good combination of characters and their personalities. And, you know, there was a lot. I love the future, the Ghost of Christmas Future, though he didn't really get to do a lot of work
A
in this.
lot,
They
but
didn't show it a
the
lot, but I
Ghost
really
of
liked him.
Christmas Past, she was sassy.
She was hilarious. I loved her. She was like, seriously, one of my favorite parts of this movie. And of course, it's also curious at the beginning, you know, she's in the town that she grew up in, neighborhood that she knew. She didn't know that's where she died, because apparently they don't know that at, you know, until they move on or whatever. And then she sees, you know, the guy and Peter in real life, and he sees her when he's not supposed to see her. And then she just like bounces, like as if there's not going to be any curiosity that happens when she just like pop, you know. But I do love that that kind of built up this mystery, like, why could he see her? So right away, it's not just, you know, a Christmas movie. There's that piece of mystery that they weave throughout the story, which I love mysteries. So, you know, and mysteries with ghosts that are quirky and funny are even better.
Yeah, my husband and I love the mystery in this one. So we were doing this whole guessing game. So I watched it myself and he watched it the next morning. So then he keep running out to me and saying, okay, it's his mom. Oh, okay. And then he'd go, oh, no, we saw his mom. Oh, it's his grandma. And these are all the same things I had thought too. And then at the end, we were like, oh, so like, I mean, it's a great concept of your soulmates. So Gareth was saying, so, you know, do you think that one of us was from 100,000 years ago and we had to wait? And now we got together because we're soulmates. Like, he was just being so
Aww,
funny.
That was
Little
cute.
Soulmate thing. Yeah. He's like, or did God just put us on the right same on the same time? So, but yeah, it was really cute because he loved that fact that it was a soulmate thing that it can stand the test of time.
We did kind of guess ourselves, like, was she the grandma? Like what was up with that? That was good. You were just waiting at the end to hopefully find out that she was not. And thankfully she was not the grandma. It'd be very odd because Peter and Catherine were so cute and funny together. I loved their chemistry. It was like awesome. Like right away, you could tell there was that good chemistry between them. And I love when he was like, looks like he was talking to himself, like through the, you know, the other parts where he can see all the ghosts and no one else can, and he's just straight up talking to himself all the time. I thought that part was really well shot and
shot.
Very funny.
It was funny, and I agree about the chemistry. It was wonderful. But let me tell you, it was concerning when we thought that it might have been his mom or his grandma.
Yeah, it was very strange, that part where, like, yes, we're happy to find out she was just a friend and deserved, because such a wonderful person, she deserved that second chance at life. And I absolutely bawled when her friend, who was the actual grandma,
yes,
made that speech about her late friend, you know, the idea of everyone living their lives just a little bit more like her generous friend Kat had, and that maybe this tragedy would make sense if they did that, if they lived their lives, you know, being thoughtful and generous. I just absolutely loved the ending of this movie. I thought it was so well done.
I agree. And the name Frog Hollow Angel was so lovely. And it worked with both photos, because first it was cats and then they were able to switch it to the grandmother. So that was really, really well done.
I completely agree.
Okay, let's move on to movie number 5, our last movie for this week, A Cozy Christmas Inn, starring Jodie Sweetin as Erica, David O'Donnell as Andy. Erica is sent to Garland, Alaska during the holiday season to acquire a B&B that her boss desperately wants to purchase, an inn that also happens to be owned by Erica's former boyfriend, Andy. Okay, so how does this movie rate? This movie gets 17 out of 20 sofas. And the categories are town holiday celebrations, location, 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 family and friends, Affairs of the Heart, Big Life Changes, Christmas Magic, and of course, the charitable event is Santa delivering presents to the children of the world, literally.
Yes, literally, because Garland is where he lives, people, at least in this movie. I really enjoyed that they included Vivica A. Fox. Like, she wasn't kind of on their headline, but I was so surprised that she is in there as this cameo as Erica's boss, Sharon. And I just love her as an actress, and I thought she was a great addition to this movie. I was also very, very excited to be revisiting Garland, Alaska. I loved the original movie with Candace Cameron Bure called Christmas Under Wraps. It was very much a full house, fuller house handoff here from Candace to Jody. And that Andy really gets around. He gets around with all these fuller house ladies here for sure.
I do agree. I love the cast. And I like that they kept most of the people or 90% of the people the same, except, of course, for Candace. But they didn't just drop her off. They gave a mention to her and why she went and took her fellowship, which was kind of the huge portion of the Christmas Under Wraps, right?
That
was about her fellowship and trying to get there. So they brought it back to the original story. So that piece I thought was well done.
Yeah, I think that was a good thread to put it, because otherwise it did kind of seem a little silly. Like, how did this all work out?
We thought they were getting together and getting married at the end.
Yes, exactly. It was a little bit strange. But I think they did pull that part off pretty well. I love Jodie Sweetin. She is one of my favorite Hallmark actors. And I love how funny and awkward she kind of made this character in the movie. I thought she would have made a very, perfect future Mrs. Claus, but it doesn't really seem like that was the storyline that was going to happen there, because he really wants to do the inn. I guess eventually he was supposed to, but didn't they trade it off to the cousin or something? I don't know. I can't remember.
The cousin gets to be the new Mrs. the new Santa.
Yeah. So
he's going to help with Santa, but the cousin's going to run it. So he'll still have to do his. Yeah.
So I guess it's a like.
I love that we're talking about Santa as a real job.
Yeah.
And finding out this
Santa's
role
a
works.
Real job. And now it's going to be the first female Santa. So hallelujah and hooray. So there we go. And I guess all I'm saying is that I think Jodie Sweetin would have made a Mrs. Claus, a very cute Mrs. Claus, if that was going to happen. I thought the inn was cute. It wasn't very Christmassy at first. I kind of found that surprising, except when you go in her room.
But her room
they had those
super.
Yeah, the room, but the outside
two trees.
There was two trees and the decals on the wall and stuff I left. So when you got in the room, it felt Christmassy, but the outside didn't feel as Christmassy as some of the other ones, because maybe because it was more modern. But I absolutely loved the fire pit in the back with the stones around it. That was very cool. The observatory was a very cool idea to add to this, and kind of made it that whole they loved looking at the stars together kind of thing. He named a star after her, so I thought that was very cute. And it's another movie this season that had actual snow in it. Now, I don't know if all the snow was real, but there was definitely moments where they were snowing on her,
you could hear
her
the
head
crunching
and making her hair wet.
Yeah, when it was snowing down, they were having bad hair days, but that was perfect because it was real. And they were in Alaska, so it made sense.
Hard to fake an Alaska snow.
Exactly. This was a cute part two of a series. I could not lie. It was not my favorite.
Yeah.
But that's Garland for you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, it is. All right. Okay. Well, that's all five movies. You want to have a little chat now about the drink that we made, and the name of it is just seriously cool. The Chilean Monkey Tail Punch, which really sounds scary, but actually it wasn't that difficult to make. It was some cooking. This is a drink where you have to do a little bit of cooking with it, but then once you do, it wasn't very much prep time cooking, a little bit of cooking, and then you chill it for most of the time. And I liked it. I thought the brandy was a little strong, but I did really like that kind of creamy coffee cinnamony taste to it.
I actually did like the brandy. It was good. I mean, with this cold, it's hard to, taste, but it was good. What I don't get, it was a very good drink. I would definitely serve it to guests coming for the holidays. I just don't know where the name comes from.
So I looked it up online. So there's a couple of like whatever I guess rumors of what it is. And one was there was a bottle of the liquor had a monkey, the bottle was shaped like a monkey tail or something. Then there's another idea that the Chilean president had like was drinking this drink and had some sort of interaction with a monkey. So I don't really think they know what the
Okay,
actual
because
story is.
punch, you think of like fruits and stuff, you know what I
Yeah,
mean? And it didn't even
agreed.
have anything like that. So
No, you know what?
the
That
name
maybe
threw
it's a
me
very
off
North
when we started putting
American.
together.
Yeah, it could be a very Western North American thought that we think a punch must be fruit based,
But it
and this is
definitely
not.
is a really nice Christmas drink. It's actually any time of year drink, but I
Yeah.
think it was excellent for. Yes, so this is definitely one if you want to try it. If you're having company, it's a really good drink.
Yep. Once again, go to our website and you can get the recipe to it.
This episode was brought to you by Hamish Community Services, opening doors by taking the dis out of disabilities. You can find out more information at hamish.ca.
Well, fellow Crownheads, we've come to the end of today's chat.
You can find all our episodes on your favorite podcast network.
And on our website, sistersipandchat.ca. Subscribe and never miss a chat session.
Thanks for listening. Join us next time.
And we'll save you a seat on the sofa.